Hey, what's up, everyone? This is David Greenspan, and you are listening to the Mindshare Podcast, a proud member of the Industry Syndicate Media Network. Additional podcasts are available at industrysyndicate.com and mindshare101.com. This week's episode is sponsored by Kits Keep in Touch Systems. This is episode 43. He is the team leader and owner of a new age real estate brokerage named RE/MAX Prime Properties in Markham, Ontario. His brokerage received the Rookie of the Year Award in 2017. He himself is a recipient of the RE/MAX Lifetime Achievement Award and a member of the RE/MAX Hall of Fame. He has received every sales achievement award in the RE/MAX system from 100% Club to the coveted Diamond Award. He is an accredited buyer representative, certified luxury home marketing specialist, million-dollar guild member, a NARB Globe international agent, and a member of Cross Canada Referrals, known as CCR. And he continues to give back to the Toronto Real Estate Board in volunteer capacities such as Vice Chair of Professional Standards, Hearing Panel, Bylaws Advisory Panel, and Government Relations Committees. He has appeared on the made-for-television series Real Estate Wars, has been the featured Canadian agent at the RE/MAX International Annual Convention, and he is regularly featured on the Region 105.9 FM and co-hosts a weekly real estate talk show called On the Market. He is an author, speaker, mentor, and a hockey coach, along with an active member of the community and a tremendous supporter of the Sick Kids Foundation. Just as important, with the very long list I just mentioned, not only is he ranked number 23 in the Ontario Atlantic region, he is also a diehard Leafs fan. Here with us today on the Mindshare podcast is Mr. Asif Khan. Asif, thank you so much for being here, my man. Really appreciate you taking the time, especially on such an amazingly important evening for all of us.
Wow, thank you, David.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, and you?
How could I be going wrong? We've got the puck dropping tonight at 7. I mean, listen, hold on. I got to clarify this very quickly. And I mentioned this to you off air, but at 7 p.m., I'm still going to be on the ice myself tonight with the kids coaching them. So I don't get home till like 8 o'clock. I'm missing the first period. Okay, now I'm going to take myself off into a tangent. So I'm doing very well because the puck's dropping, but man, oh man, I wish I was there for like all of the festivities before. Plus, we're naming a captain, but we'll get to that Leafs talk in a little bit.
All right.
So tell me something. I just labeled off a massively long list of things that you've achieved in what's not been what I would say like a decades and decades and decades of experience in the real estate industry. I mean, there's over a decade there, but you've achieved a lot, man. So I'm just curious, you know, how long have you been selling real estate? And then I guess there, from when you got in and maybe what you knew about it before to where we sit today, how has the business changed since then? Like, what is or what are those biggest changes that you've experienced?
Well, you know, it's been 13 years, and it does feel like decades and decades and decades. But yeah, it's been 13 years, and it's been a great 13 years. And you know, I try to learn something new every day, and that's been what I've been trying to do since I first got into the business in 2006. But you know, it's interesting you ask what's changed. Pretty much everything. Like what we used to do in 2006 is very different than what we're doing now, and the business has gone more towards the online as, you know, compared to 2006. We were doing a lot of things manually, and it's a lot easier right now, but it's a lot harder. So you're trying to figure that out.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, when you talk about, you know, especially 2006, and I tell you, we started Kits right at the same time. Back at that time. And I mean, the reality is we've been battling this, the likes of the Facebooks and the technologies and all that stuff. And I mean, you know, I've said this many times, and for folks that that tune in regularly to Mindshare in any capacity, you've heard me say this before, but I remember the days of the black and white MLS tear sheets. I remember the days of, you know, typewriters in the offices. I remember the days that agents actually used to come to the office on a regular basis as they started their day, in the middle of their day, to finish their day. Now these silly things right here have really changed everything for us, right? So like, what, I guess from that, what has been maybe that biggest thing that you've seen that's really been, hey, you better adapt?
I think it's the online presence. And you know, everyone wanted a website before. They had all these templated websites. But now, not only do you need a website, you need a website that's consumer friendly. You want to be able to get out there and have them use this to their benefit. And at the same time, our business, like you said, it's mobile now. So we've had to adapt to certain technologies or certain things that have encompassed our business to be able to provide a better consumer experience. And in the end, no matter if you're doing it all manually, like we were in 2006 or now, the root or the base of our business, the foundation, is still the consumer experience. So you can't embrace technology too much and forget about providing that consumer experience.
That's a big one. And that's something that I think a lot of people don't think about as often. I mean, I have conversations with agents in this business that are from across the country, all different walks of life, people that are just getting in the biz, people that have been in the biz a while, people that have been in way before all these days of technology. And I mean, depending on the people you speak to, you know, there's some that really truly understand it's about customer experience. There's others that believe it's a very transactional business and they operate that way through their marketing, through the way they deal with people. And I mean, when we talk about longevity, that's certainly not what this is all about, right? So, I mean, like here, and again, you've achieved all these different accreditations, certifications, awards, achievements, assets. Like seriously, when I saw that list, I was like, oh my God, man, like drop the mic with this guy. He's killing it. But this obviously comes from how you operate, how you carry yourself, how you connect with people. So I guess to that, what is it about the way you, Asif, operate that differentiates you? Or even more importantly, how has that helped you stand out in this really overcrowded market of what seems like everybody wants to just get in and be a realtor without actually understanding what it really takes to be a realtor?
You know, I think part of it is where I came from in terms of I used to work for a Japanese company and they are so consumer focused. And by that, I mean, they go above and beyond to make sure that consumer relationship is valued and their experience lasts a lifetime, because that's what people are going to remember, is that experience. And that's been the focus of my business. You know, we operate on the foundations or principles of Kaizen, which is continuous improvement, but at the same time, maintaining that relationship and building that relationship, because that's what's going to create that longevity that you just spoke about. And that's what we want to do. Real estate is a contact sport. So for those saying, hey, I don't want to be on Facebook, I just want to do it my way and it's the old fashioned way, and that's a transactional approach to it, but it doesn't create longevity. I mean, there's going to be people that come up now and pass you by because you haven't created those relationships. And I think that's the foundation to building a solid business.
So to that then, what would you suggest to people? I mean, when it comes to that, and I get it. I know what you're saying. So this is going to sound like a silly question, but when we talk about building those relationships, what are kind of some of the little things that we need to be doing regularly that help us build those relationships? And you just brought up the Kaizen method, which, forgive me, I hadn't heard of before. You brought it up the other day when we were chatting. And I'd read it there in the synopsis that you provided to me. But what is the deal with that? What's the idea around that? And then again, what are some of the things that people can implement on a daily basis? Like just the little things when they wake up in the morning and in those that 12, 15, 20 hour day, however you operate, what are some things people should be doing?
Just trying to be better than yesterday. Trying to be better than you were yesterday. Stop comparing yourself to other people or other agents. Just be better than you were yesterday. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, if you're hosting a client event, make sure the next one is a little bit better. If you're listing a property, the next time you list a property, make sure you do something a little bit better than the last time. And it's growth, right? It's not only personal growth, but it's growth for your business as well, as you start to focus on what's going to drive the business. Where's the market going? Stay a step ahead of where everyone is and try to implement that into your business. And there's no home run. You got to get those base hits. You got to play, you know, short ball. And that's what's going to drive your business for the future. Everyone wants to hit the home run. They want that one $3 million deal that's going to, you know, set their year up. But, you know, we're not afraid of leases. We're not afraid of $400,000 condos. You got to do it all.
So get out there and don't, I guess, in a light way of saying this, don't discriminate against any opportunity that comes across your plate.
Well, I think there's that for sure, but there's no easy way to become successful. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of groundwork, and you got to put it in.
There's no easy way to become successful. You're kidding me. I thought you just wake up and get a license. No, but, and I'm with you there. And I mean, like, ain't that the truth, right? That's really what it comes down to. So, I mean, we know that everybody wants to wake up and get that next deal, right? So when you wake up in the morning, what kind of things should people be focused on? So it's, I mean, I'll say this, right? I suggest everybody make your phone calls, you know, connect on social media, go and meet new people, you know, make sure you're scheduling yourself, you're staying organized so that you know where you're going, what you're up to. So, I mean, being better, is this, would you boil this down to just have more conversations with people?
Yeah, more conversations and good conversations. So you're not calling people and saying, hey, I just listed this house, or hey, you know, I just got a new car. And
hey, want to sell? Yeah. No? Okay. Hi. Hey, Asif, I know we spoke yesterday, but what about today? Want to sell?
Exactly. What's the other one? I'm never too busy for your referrals.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, my line is, oh, you're not, I got to paint my house. And actually Sally was planning to cut the grass. Maybe you can come help me. Oh no, you're too busy for that. Are you?
But have real conversations with people. You know, like when I'm calling people, it's not about real estate. It's to keep in touch with them. It's to find out what's going on in their life. Right. And that's what's going to get you the respect or the trust that you need. If you're just calling about real estate all the time, they're going to stop answering your call. So everyone has call display now.
Okay. And, so yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And if you block your number, no one's going to answer anyway. So.
Well, here's where I was going to go with that is I've had the conversation with people before, and I remember very, very specifically a guy that said to me, you know, Dave, you said make the birthday call, and he's just, you know, that it's income producing. And I said, well, yeah. Wouldn't it be? And he goes, well, how would that be income producing? And, you know, it was a longer conversation around it, but the idea there was you're not calling to wish a happy birthday so that you can make some money. That's first of all, the first thing you have to like get right out of your whole system, out of your mentality about it. The idea behind that birthday call being income producing is basically piggybacking on what you just said around the idea now that if I place that little call and I'm genuine about that call and I'm not calling you for sales, but I really care to wish you a happy birthday. And then, you know, we talk again, you know, in a month or 2 months and hey, talking about the Leafs and what you think about, you know, this and that and whatever. And again, keep going. Well, at some point I'm building enough mind share that you're now thinking about me as just a nice guy, somebody who's maybe trustworthy, somebody that you follow maybe on social media. So you get to get, you know more about me, but it's beyond all that other stuff. We talk, we're real people with each other.
Yeah.
Now we've built that relationship, right?
And you know, if you think that the birthday call is a waste of time and it's not income producing, don't make that call. Because people, you see it on Facebook and everything, and people will say, hey, happy birthday. They don't even know who this person is. They don't really care, but they want to put happy birthday. Don't do it. Because if it's not genuine, the other person's going to see through it. So when you're making the calls, there, you know, there's tone involved. There's no tone in typing something, but when there's tone involved and you say, hey, happy birthday, it does nothing. Don't make that call because it's, you got to feel it. They got to feel it. It's,
yeah.
Got to be there. There's got to be something there.
Well, that's part of the, you know, when people, I mean, I've had people for years ask me about, hey, Dave, I mean, with kits, cause we do all the marketing, the printing and stuff. Can you do birthday cards? Yeah. I said, no. They go, why? So why do you want me to do your birthday card for you? They're like, well, you know, just save me time. I'm like, well, if you feel that it's a waste of time to wish that person happy birthday, you need somebody else to do it for you. Don't do it.
Right?
There's no reason for it. And that's many times I've said to people, do not wish happy birthday if you don't really mean it. Now, I'll tell you on social, I believe because we've, you know, if we've connected on social media, we're friends with each other, we're there, there's a personal relationship. It comes up and says, happy, you know, so-and-so. I don't mind. I will put that out there. But at the same time, too, this is part of engagement with people. Don't just put it out there to put it out there. Put it there because you do mean it.
That's right.
Right? So, you know, kind of touching on this then here, and I want to dig into social in a few moments even more, but we know that these days it is all about mixing the old school with the new school, you know, and buddy, I mean, that's how I've gotten to know you. And I believe you've gotten to know me really well, you know, at that extent, it's just been, you do a great job of it on social media. And seeing as we try to teach our viewers, you know, and listeners each week about mindshare and why it's so important, outside of just social, what do you do across the board that, you know, for your marketing that gets your name out there? So, I mean, you I've touched on the fact that you do social media. You've touched on the fact that you make your phone calls and you build relationships on a regular basis. What are the things that you doing to build Asif as a brand, a person, a realtor, somebody you could trust? What marketing channels have you got using? Are you using?
I think it's becoming an ambassador for your community. I mean, people see that. People see what you do for the community. They see what you do for them. And that's been a big part of our marketing or our advertising, is doing things to help the community, doing things to help the hockey teams that my kids play on. And it could be something as little as sponsoring a pizza party or having a few booths at a local event to support them, you know, donating to charity. And, you know, more specifically, to narrow it down to our clients, we do a lot of client events. And we want to make sure that we're giving back to our clients, taking them to movies or hockey games, and just letting them know that we care about them and, you know, we want to do things for them to say thank you.
Interesting. So the personal calls, the social media, and the getting involved with not just the community, but the community that you're within. So whether it be the local schools, the fairs, the whatnot, the hockey teams, you're there already. So it's how can I be involved in and connect with people?
That's right. And we're not going out there asking for business. I mean, that's the wrong approach to take. I think when you're trying to help the community, asking them for their listings or sales or referrals, that's not why we're there. We're there to support the community. And people will see that our support is genuine. And sure, we get business from it, but that's not our goal when we set out. You know, when we're going out to schools and sponsoring book fairs and things like that, it's not about getting business. It's actually to help them. And people will see that you're in it for them, and they'll reciprocate.
You know, two things I just wrote down as you were saying that. There are two words that you continue to say. You continue to use these today. One is genuine, and the other is help. You know, and so this is a big thing for, again, everybody that's listening, everybody watching, following. You know, I do talk about this stuff a lot, about giving value and reciprocity and consistency. And I mean, here we are, somebody totally different than me, even though we've got a lot of similarities. Somebody totally different is saying the exact same thing. It is about being genuine. And like, buddy, but when I wake up in the morning, just being genuine ain't getting me that deal, is the way I'm thinking. What you're saying, and what I agree with you completely on, is you got to change that thinking, that mentality right off the hop. You got to change the way you believe that your business comes.
Well, right? One of the coaches said, think like a farmer and work like a hunter.
There you go. You're
not working every day, but these are seeds that you're planting for the future. It doesn't have to, you know, turn into a deal now or a listing now. You're just out there helping, and eventually it'll come back.
Well, that's like the whole idea of, you know, when somebody says to you, should I be investing in real estate? Well, absolutely. But this is not a 365-day investment. This is a long-term investment, right? It's the exact same thing. See, there's the other mentality. It's the exact same thing for the realtor to be thinking that way with their client. When you meet somebody new, it's a long-term investment. Like, I had somebody the other day who calls me up and he says, my real estate coach said, I'm talking to my clients too much, and that if they haven't worked with me in 2 years, I should take them off the list. And I went, what? How does that even make sense? So I started just open-ended questions, right? Digging. And it was, where does your business come from? And, you know, how long does it usually take? And, you know, we started going through these different things, and it's like, he sat there, you could see the wheel spinning in his head. Even though we were on the phone with each other, you could tell the wheels were spinning. And he started going, oh my God, this doesn't make sense. Cause in my mind, it's like, if you're going to take somebody off your list after a year or 2 years, because they've done nothing with you, it makes no sense. Like, you might get referrals in 3 years from now. You might get a deal in 7 years from now, 12 years from now. What does it cost you to stay in touch with those people? And if you're going to build a relationship, why not keep going with that?
That's right. Yeah.
Right? It's that long-term thing. So here, with that said, then over the 13, kind of coming up on 14 years of you doing this, where does most of your business come from? Is it people you know or people you don't know? And if it's people you don't know, and that's where the mind is going, and I'm just putting words in your mouth, so correct me here in a second, but is it the people that you don't know that have actually become people you do know? And is that really the way it comes down? So really, this is still group one or group two, people you know or people you don't know?
So I'm glad you added that last part about people that I don't know becoming people I know, because I had this conversation with a coach of mine. I think it was back in 2008, 2009. When I started out, I was door knocking. Pretty much every day I'd be door knocking, but hitting the right areas. And finally, when I changed coaches, he said, well, you need to stop door knocking. You're wasting your time. And I said, wow, that's all that I really knew. So, all right, I'll change it up. And I had my worst year ever. And in terms of, you know, the way that my business was growing, it just stalled. And actually went back a few steps. And I thought about it, and I spoke to my previous coach, and he said, well, what are you doing differently? I said, well, I'm not doing door knocking. That was a waste of time. He goes, really? I said, how many people did you add to your database from door knocking? And I told him the number. And he said, so over the 2.5 years you've been in business, you've added this many people. How many of those people bought in the last year and a half or so? And there was a few of them that bought. And he said, interesting. So you had, you know, 30% of your business come from door knocking, and now you've decided that it doesn't work. Because, you know, a lot of people will look at it as instant gratification. Well, I door knocked for an hour and I got nothing. Well, it doesn't work like that. But you're door knocking, you're adding them to your database. Now these people became my friends. So I didn't even see them as people like door knocked. I saw them as my friends buying. So when I put them into my business, I was putting them in as friends and family buying from me, not people I door knocked buying from me. And that's, you know, it's that whole thing. How many people that you didn't know became friends that you know? We're doing this every day. And you got to build relationships. You got to create those relationships, and you got to keep those relationships. And that's what's going to get you that business.
So did you just say to me that door knocking worked?
It did. It still does.
I love it. Does everybody hear this? I've been saying this forever, man. You know what? For the thousands of times I've asked that question, most people, and I know everybody here listening is going, Dave, you tell me all the time. Well, guess what? I'm telling you again. For the thousands of times I've asked this question before, do you door knock? No, I don't like it. I don't want to be door knocked. I don't want to door knock. People are rude. Cool. Do you door knock? Yes. Do you see business? Yes. Good. For the thousands of times I've asked the question, 96% of realtors do not door knock. Of the 4% that do, 99% of them say, yes, they see business. So I don't care if you don't like being door knocked. I don't care if you don't like door knocking. This is how you can get business. It works. And every single person that tells me they do it says, yes, it works.
It does. And sure. You have to have a reason. You have to have a reason to go out. I can't just door knock and say, hey, are you buying or selling?
Wait, hold on. You're saying don't go door knock into somebody's house and just want to put a sign in the lawn. That doesn't work.
But you're creating a relationship. You're giving them something of value for them to want to create this relationship. So make sure you have something of value. You know, we do something called house calls. So we go out and say, hey, we're doing house calls in your area, and we're going to be coming in and, you know, giving you a few pointers on your home. Is that something of value for somebody? Or, you know, you don't even have to pick that. You can pick something else. Give them a pen or a calendar. Give them a calendar.
I love that calendar.
But give them something that they're going to use and see value in, right? And then that way, now you've started to build that relationship. But unless you give them something, they're not obligated to give you anything back.
Right.
You know, even when you're calling online leads, if you're not providing them with something that they can't have or they don't have, then they're not going to talk to you. They're going to hang up on you. So you got to provide value.
Absolutely. And I mean, to that, it's so, you know, for everybody there on that note of door knocking, then, you know, don't go there looking for a deal. Don't go in. I know a lot of coaches say, you know, go in, and if you don't leave with the appointment, well, it was, you know, it didn't work out or whatever. No. Your idea there, plain and simple, is to go build a relationship. You are there to build relationships. And if you can continue to build that and maintain it, don't just knock once. Oh, that guy slammed the door. That guy wasn't polite, or he said no and never go back. No. That's just step one in this process, because the more you do that, the more consistent you are, the more value you provide, the more you're going to be looked at that as that person, that realtor, and you will begin to get the business. So it comes from an initial door knock. And like we said a moment ago, taking them from group number two, moving them into group number one. And now you're working that group number one list, which happens to be these new people you just met. I mean, to me, it just seems like 1 + 1 = 2. It's too easy. I think a lot of people overcomplicate it. Now, you also just mentioned something about, and I don't want to, because this can be a can of worms. I don't want to dig too deep into it, but the online lead thing, that whole world. Do you have any aspect of that you operate with? Do you sort of stay away from that stuff? Do you see it as a good business driver? Just real quick on that.
It's a great business driver, because it's people that are putting up their hand to say, hey, I'm a buyer, I'm a seller. So it's an introduction.
Okay.
Is going to buy or sell. I mean, you got to remember, these guys are on 5 different sites at the same time. So just because they end up on your site doesn't mean that, hey, they're exclusively your lead and they're going to buy from you. You still have to work that. You have to cultivate it. You have to manage it. And the hardest part with online leads is managing expectations. Right. And you won't be able to get to those expectations until you have a live call with them.
Whose expectations? Yours, theirs, both?
Well, both. I mean, our expectations are these guys are not going to buy maybe for 6 months or a year. So we have to get that clear, first of all, because people want to sell to them in the first week. The second thing that we want to do is manage their expectations. What are they looking for? What are they qualified for? Build that relationship. Because again, that's a door knock. You got to build that relationship in order to get your sign on the line.
There's the idea, right? So say, okay, that is a door knock. It's the same idea. So, you know, In very blunt, simple ways, when I say door knocking doesn't cost you a lot of money, it just costs you time, which you could in essence say it costs you a little bit of money. When it comes to the online lead gen, it comes to all that stuff, you do need to have processes in place. Yeah, and it's not to say it doesn't work, but there are a lot more costs involved. And then again, understanding the process of when that lead came in to what you do with that lead along the way to where it would really potentially maybe convert into a deal. There's a lot of different money being spent, time involved, and process that has to happen. It's not just go and have online leads and, well, business is just going to start to roll in.
That's right. You got to work.
So now here, going from there then, you were on the radio this morning. I know we were chatting while you were on your way back to the office to get prepared for the podcast here, which means that you've got some sort of scheduling, some sort of organization that you operate within. Do you, or do you run around like a chicken with your head cut off? Like what's the idea around scheduling, organization, the type of stuff that really helps you get it all done in a day? So is there a method to the madness?
I think the most important thing is managing this thing, because this thing could kill your business. If you're just running around and you're operating, you know, at the beck and call of your cell phone, then you're already out of the game. So, you know, if people call me, they know I'm going to call back at 11:30 or 3:30, leave me a message and I will call you back when I'm returning calls. And that sets the expectation for them, because they're not sitting around waiting for you to call. They know you're going to call at 11:30 or 3:30. I have office hours on there, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you're calling after 7 p.m., you're probably not going to get me, or I'll call you back later because that's my time with my kids for hockey or whatever. And you got to manage your schedule and then slot in, you know, appointments, when you're going to do listing presentations, when you're going to do your buyer showings. Put all that in, time block. And once you time block, it'll make life a lot easier.
So you do focus on the time blocking, which I believe is massively important to achieve anything we want in life. I think that we have to do that. When you talk about 7 p.m., I refer to that as realistic time. So, I mean, I'll tell you now, 5:15, 5:30 tonight till about till 10 o'clock, because right after hockey practice with the little man, which is the real important time in life, is with that little guy and my daughter as well. After that, the Leafs are on, so I'm going to be sidetracked with that this evening. And typically speaking, I will plug in that time during the Leafs games to do work. Tonight may be a little bit different just because it's opening night. But I'm unavailable. Like, I will not be available for anybody during those times. There's realistic time, but it is a matter of managing that schedule so that I can go and spend that time, not miss out on work opportunities, and still get everything done I need to get done in a day and more. Yeah. So time blocking is absolutely massive. And I was curious around that. Because, hey, again, social media, I see you. You're busy. You are running from rink to rink like I am. You are doing your business like I am. And, you know, there's the optics of it, is how do you get it all done in a day? You know, and I get that question a lot from people. And a lot of the time it just comes down to get yourself organized, and you got to be very consistent about that calendar.
You have to be. You gotta make sure that you schedule it all in, because if it's not in my phone, it's not getting done.
That's the thing. It's not getting done. Like, you know, put cutting the lawn in there. I mean, I do that, you know, so that it gets done. If it's paying bills, like, it's in the calendar, so it gets done. Plus it's a nice little reward at the end of the day when I realize what I've gotten done. I get to look back and go, hey, look at that. Did a good job today.
Yeah.
You know? So here, moving into the social media aspect then, because you're all over it, you know, there you go. Why are you all over it, Asif? Like, why are you out there on social media? Why are you leveraging this platform? What benefit does it give you?
Well, again, it's creating and maintaining relationships. I mean, you know, what are we on? We're on Instagram, Facebook, a bit of LinkedIn thrown in there. But that's where our family and friends are. That's where our clients are. And, you know, social media, Facebook, when I first started in 2006, it was pretty new. I mean, I don't think a lot of people were on Facebook in 2006, but it started to grow. And now there's people sharing. Nobody prints pictures anymore. They're all on Facebook. If Facebook ever shut down or started charging, we'd have to pay because our entire lives are on there. But there's a balance, right? Like, you don't want to post every meal that you're eating. You don't want to post, oh wait, pet peeve, realtors that post every freaking listing and sale on social media. All right, we know you're a realtor. We don't want to see that. And those are stories that you pass over. Yeah. But a story with your kids or, you know, with a family outing or vacation pictures, you're going to stop and you're going to take a look at that because that's relation building stuff. You know, all of the just solds or the just listeds, that's for you to see. That's that, like, no one else cares. You know, get a business page, throw it on there. People that want to see it, you know, boost it off there, promote it. But no one cares about how many invitations do you have to people's business pages that you haven't even accepted yet?
Too many.
Exactly. And as soon as you add them as a friend, the first thing you get is, here, like my business page. No one cares.
Can't do that.
We want to know who you are and we want to deal with you. And that's about it. So you don't have to post everything on Facebook. You don't have to post relationship statuses or fights or anything like that. But be yourself. Be yourself and let us know who you are because that's what's going to get you to establish a relationship and in turn, people to trust you enough to do business with you.
I know when Facebook came in 2006, I remember there was a friend of mine and she said to me, have you got Facebook? And I went, who? What? And, you know, she explained to me, it's like this online yearbook and all this stuff. And I'm like, nah, that ain't for me. Now I know there's a bunch of people laughing right now, sitting there listening because, well, I'm all over the place, but it really wasn't for me. And it did take some time for me to get into, you know, really feeling comfortable with it, really posting on it, really understanding why it's there. I was actually having this conversation with my brother-in-law yesterday or the day before around how he was kind of even chuckling, looking, going like, you know, you used to say like, forget it, all this social media. And now it's like you're all over the social media. And I think for me, maybe it was, I don't even know, Aspen, maybe 6-7 years ago, I started really starting to dabble and dibble and do my stuff. Like, what about you? Were you an early adopter from 06 when you got in the biz? Was this something you realized right away? Or were you very turned off from it? Were you kind of going, I can't represent myself on Facebook. People are going to think I'm a kid, or I don't know. Like, was there any of these misconceptions you had that floated around your mind?
I think at the beginning, it was just to see who's out there. It wasn't really a thing. And then I got into the, hey, I'll use it for business and I'll put my listings on. And then you find out no one really cares. but you know, now it's a keep in touch tool, right? And it's no different than kids. Like, it's an online way for you to see what people across the world are doing. It's a way to meet people. What's the first thing you do when someone approaches you? You check them out on Facebook and you see what their profile picture is like. And if they've got drinks in their hand or something, like, hey, that person's a drunk, I'm not going to listen to them. But you know, you want to make sure that you research properly. There's more searches that start on Facebook now than on Google. So it's really changed a lot just in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's evolving. Instagram was never as popular as it is right now. And, you know, Snapchat is another, like, that's for younger people. Yeah. But, you know, that's what all the kids are on. Here's an interesting one. So my daughter, second year at McGill, she, when she graduated high school, she came and said, Daddy, can I go and get a Facebook account? Because all my friends are going to be on Facebook and I'll be able to keep in touch with them. I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So she did. 4 years later, my second daughter graduated from high school. And I said, hey, Jenna, you should get a Facebook account. And she said, why? And I said, so you can keep in touch with all your friends when you go away. So Jenna turns to me and says, nobody's on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
In 4 years, that's how much it changed in 4 years.
It's amazing. I know that, though. I mean, when I look at my younger cousins who are, you know, finishing off high school, moving into college, university, and Facebook's not their thing. Instagram, no. Snapchat, you know, maybe Instagram. Yeah, Instagram they'll be on. Snapchat for sure is a big one for them. I mean, and I've tried Snapchat. I went through that thing and it wasn't for me. You know, I didn't find any of my people on Snapchat. And that's not to say that Snapchat doesn't work. At the same time, for me, it's not where I am. And I'm not there. I'm still not there today. And it's not that I'm going to go there just because. It's not my platform, you know? Yeah. So yeah, the world has changed there. So you sort of, so when did you actually start getting involved with it then? Was it only a few years ago or was it almost day one? Like we all had an account, but posting.
Posting probably 2008, 2009.
Okay. So not too, so you've been doing it now for a bit. So then from there, you know, how did you get comfortable with that?
I think it's a shift between what you think is a privacy violation versus you know, getting comfortable and just keeping in touch with people. And that's the main thing. Like, you know, it gives you a great insight into other people's lives and what they're going through and how they're doing. Gives you a good avenue to reach out to them as well. I mean, I think the worst thing with all these platforms is all the messages, because you're getting messages all over the place and that's hard to control. Yeah. So, you know, I'll answer Facebook messages, not so much Instagram messages, text messages. But you got to kind of let people know where you're going to be for them to reach out to you. Because there's so many ways for them to reach you right now. You got to put some sort of controls on those. Otherwise, you're just being bombarded all day.
Well, that comes back to what you said about this thing before. And I mean, I say the same thing. Don't be a slave to your phone, right? So it's when somebody messages you, just because they message you right then and there. And apologies to everybody listening. You know, you'll always get a reply from me 99% of the time. It just may not be in that exact moment that you're looking for it. Why? Because again, it comes back to time management. Because if we did do that, we would, and you said it perfectly, we would be completely sidetracked on that phone all day long. And I mean, as I sit here, the phone's going off, right? It's been going off the whole time we're on this call, on this podcast. So it's that whole thing going again, there, it just went off again. So am I going to look at that phone and sidetrack myself from what I'm up to and then get caught up in the 30 second, 2 minute, 5 minute response, the back and forth conversation for 15 minutes? I don't have that time right now, but I have scheduled that time. So I will be there. I will get back to that. Yeah. Right. So from, you know, there's the other, and you brought up a good point there too. When we talk about being ourselves on social and we talk about the fact that it is a massive search engine. Yes. Like I get people that, you know, we put out job postings right away. I'm going to Facebook. I want to see who you are. And there's times I don't find people and that might be strategic by them. There's times where, you know, you're looking and you find things and you might be happy or totally not happy with what you find. But now when we shift that into our world in the sales world, this real estate industry is, if every single thing I see from you, when you send me that friend request, I met you at the coffee shop, you saw me with my jersey, you said, go Leafs go, you send me this friend and all of a sudden I check you out and I go to see who you are a little bit more. And I'm seeing listing after listing after open house, after listing after open house, after profile picture, after listing after open house, after profile picture. Boring. You haven't let me into who you are. You haven't let me into anything. And I, quite frankly, all I think I'm going to see from you is probably real estate advertising. And at some point, you're probably going to try to sell my house.
That's right.
You haven't really brought me in to become, you know, that initial conversation we had around, you know, how we got to know each other. There's right. No connection there.
That's a great word. It's connection. You got to make that connection in order to move to the next level.
So then with that, what advice, and I know we've been sort of going over this, but what would that be, that advice for anybody who's worried? Because I get this question a lot from people. You know, I'm worried. I'm concerned what people are going to think. I'm nervous if I ask a question. And quite frankly, to everybody who feels that way, I understand it. I get it. I'm going to tell you to stop worrying, stop being nervous, stop everything else. But I get it. It's a human reaction. What would you say to those people though? You know, those people that are almost scared to voice an opinion, scared about what other people think. What would your advice to those people be?
Just be yourself. The people that you're scared of are not your friends. Because you're going to be doing business with like-minded people. They're going to respect you for who you are, what you do, where you go. And if you're scared of pissing people off, or if you're scared of what people are going to think, those aren't your people.
Those aren't your people.
Forget. Just forget about them. And, you know, unless, like, if you're a drunk and you're out drinking every night and that's what you're posting, well, yeah, that's, you should be scared about that. But at the same time, if you're out being yourself and you're just being normal, that's who you're going to attract. You know, it's no different than the brokerage here. We decided at the beginning that we would build it on culture. We didn't want those top producers that are going to alienate everyone else, or it's going to be all about ego or anything like that. So everyone in here is like-minded. We all get along. It's like a big family. And that's who you want to do business with. There's not a lot of stress. You know, I don't come in saying, oh my God, what's this agent going to do? I know all the agents here and I know who they are. And we've gotten to create this bond together that's not going to be breakable. And if you ask anyone about RPP, it's our people that make the difference. And we're really proud of that. It's the same with your Facebook family. You know, every once in a while, I'll go on and do a little Facebook cleanse and take out people that I don't think fit the culture of my Facebook friends. And I think you have to do that because people change, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. People have to change.
Yeah, you see people ranting about politics or religion, things like that. And that's not who I want on Facebook. So rather than stress about them, just delete them out of your life and then you're done. So.
Yeah. Well, it's getting rid of that negative cloud, right?
That's right.
Which I think is massively important. So, okay. So now coming out of the idea of social media and sort of, we just sort of said, you know, focus on your people, look for the genuine people, look for the people that you really attract that attract you. And that, those are your people because everybody else really, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know, there's a lot of people out there. So stop being nervous about it. Just be yourself and really, and again, my simplicity to that whole thing is click the button. The more you click the button, the more comfortable you get with it, the more used to you people get with you, if that made any sense, right? Like they just get used to seeing you out there. It starts to become part of the fabric. And again, if they don't like you, they're going to delete you. If they do like you, they're going to engage with you. And now you've achieved comfort level. You've achieved stronger connections. You've really found where your group really lies, right? So now taking that out of social media, what advice would you give any agent that is, that's coming into the business? Because we've already, you know, you already said like, when you wake up in the morning, be authentic, be you, be genuine, you know, really try to help people, give back. And I love everything you're saying because I really, really, really believe in all of that stuff. Brand new agents coming into the business and they're going, what do I do? What would you say to people?
Just be yourself again. Okay. Be yourself. Don't try to be someone that you're not. People will try to emulate other agents, but you're not that other agent. So be you. Focus on what you're passionate on. So if you're passionate about, Sick Kids Foundation, you know, go with that. If you're passionate about animal cruelty or, you know, preventing it, go with that. And you want to be able to be with your people. And if you try to go into areas that don't fit in or that don't suit you, you're going to crash and burn. So I think the important thing is figure out who you want to be. And go be that person.
Okay. Be your authentic self. Love it. Have a vision. Have some goals. Love it. From there now, you know, I woke up. I've got this list asked if I'm ready to go. You know, I need to start my business today. For example, my recommendation, everybody, is go and build your contact list. Write down everybody you've ever met, everybody you've ever known. It doesn't mean you need to spend money on these people. It doesn't mean they're all potential clients necessarily, but write them all down. Have a list. You know, some people would say, go out and start knocking doors. And it's not wrong. I still believe, though, as we've already acknowledged here today, is when you're knocking doors, you still got to move these people into a list so you can work a list.
That's right.
So my advice to people is always start with your list. Get out there and start connecting with people and just build relationships. Would you agree with that as a starting point in the business?
I agree, but there's more to do with that list to get you started. So once you have a contact list, you're sending them out, you know, mailings or emails every month or every week. But take that list and now to make it real estate friendly, put down what street they live on. And here's a tip.
Right.
Once you have the streets they live on, put it into an MLS search. You know how we get search alerts?
Yep.
Put it into your search alert so that you're getting these alerts when something on their street comes up for sale. Now, people will say, I just started in the business. I don't have anyone to call. Well, if you did that, now you have a whole bunch of people to call because something's going to come up in their area and you're going to call them and say, hey, this just came up in your area, just letting you know. That's it. And now, what are they going to say? How much?
Exactly.
So now they're starting the conversation with you about how much. You know, and then if they don't hear from you for a few days, hey, what's going on with that place on my street? Did it sell? Did it have any offers? And it just starts the ball rolling. So they know that you're new in the business, but when you do something like that, you're showing them that you're, you know, you've firmly implanted yourself in. You're not just dabbling.
You care. You're active. Right. I mean, you know what, with the websites that we offer, we've got, and we're tied into Loop CRM and all that stuff, but there is a thing there with the drips that basically notifies people, like it goes to them automatically. You can set the frequency and everything else, but it'll give them 5 to 10 properties of a local. We've also got this other feature called GeoSearch, where you could go and map people in your contact list according to what's sold and just do what you just said, just call them up and let them know. Yeah. It's not even like I'm trying to sell your house. Hey man, it's Dave. I just real quick wanted to let you know about this, this and that. Hey man, thank you. Or how much, or what do you think mine's worth? Or cool. You know, right. But it's a little nugget of value. And again, that in my mind, again, still gets weaved within, you know, all the relationship stuff you need to be doing on an ongoing basis. Right.
That's right.
Okay. So in this question then, what should agents, you know, briefly on that, what's your opinion there? What should they be doing to remain relevant? Or does this tie right back to everything we've been saying is be yourself, connect with people?
To be relevant, you got to keep learning. You got to keep learning and evolving and make sure that you're not shooting down, you know, new initiatives or new technology. Embrace it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you got to embrace it, but don't forget about what got you there. You know, you got to keep those relationships going. You got to keep that face-to-face going. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I don't like calling people. I'm just going to text them. There's nothing personal in a text, you know, and a great way to, you know, we were just at the RE/MAX Elite retreat that was in Texas. And one of the speakers said, sign your name. And so, you know, people have different signatures. They put their flair into their signatures, their personality into their signatures. Now he said, okay, type out your name. Right. And it's just all the same.
It's all the same.
So, you know, people want to hear your voice. They want to see you in person because they want to hear your, you know, they want you to bring your swag. Whereas when you're just doing a text message or an email, there's no swag involved. So
it's amazing how this conversation is revolved around social media, but we're talking so much about relationships and how to build it and how it just circled back to the fact that this thing right here, what we call a pen, is still incredibly valuable to our world, eh? That is amazing, buddy. Now that we got the business stuff out of the way, I got another important question to ask you.
All right.
Okay. It's opening night here in Toronto. Our Leafs are literally about to hit the ice for the 2019-2020 season. I said about 4 years ago that by 2020, the Leafs are going to win the Cup, which means that that is this year. And I know as Leafs fan, we say it's every year, but I kind of give myself this buffer of going, it's either this year or next year, because next year could still be 2020-2021 season. But I have said the Leafs are going to win the Cup within 2020. So that said, I got a few questions for you. Number one, tonight we've got a mate.
One second.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
If we're talking Leafs.
Yeah. Let's see it, buddy.
All right.
Let's see. I know there was going to be a special one here today. Ah, there we go. Go Leafs, go!
Doesn't have the C on it yet, but it's coming.
So. Yeah, there's no C there yet. There's no C on there yet, and you're wearing number 16. I actually don't have any numbers on this one. Who do you think gets the C tonight?
I think I'd like Morgan Riley to get it.
Oh, really? Eh?
I think it's going to be Tavares.
I would agree that it's going to be Tavares. I really, truly believe it's going to be Tavares. Funny enough, neither of us have mentioned Matthews. I don't know what all of our listeners believe in this whole thing, but, you know, I don't think it's going to be Matthews, not because of, you know, the whole joke around Captain Underpants the other day. I just don't think I don't think he's earned it just yet, just because he's one of the elite players in the NHL. And he's definitely just an incredible hockey player. I just don't think he's earned it when it comes to being the C.
That's right.
Being the captain for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, I think you got to command the room. And I think Tavares or Riley would be able to do that. And I don't think as good as Matthews is or potentially will be, I don't think he's earned that respect.
I don't think he's earned it either. And quite frankly, I'm not a fan of, you know, the way he deals with the media. You know, I think that I don't think he speaks incredibly well. I don't think he speaks incredibly confident. I think he still does have some growing up to do. Whereas Tavares, to me, is a machine, man. Like, I mean, we watch that guy. He's a Team Canada player, and he's that good. Like, he's that good. He's worn it. He knows it. He's born in Toronto. I think he gets it. I love Morgan Riley. I myself am a defenseman. I think he brings a lot of good traits to the team. I don't know. I just don't think he gets it over Tavares.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been the de facto captain for a number of years, but you got to remember, in a couple of years, he could be gone. So Tavares is here for 6 years, and I think that may be the logical choice.
You think who's going to be gone? Riley.
Riley, yeah.
It's possible, yeah. It's very possible that that happens, right? So there's the idea around why Tavares gets it. Now, does that ruffle feathers with Matthews tonight? Like, does that make him sour?
I think the team already knows.
I think the team already knows too, right? It's not that he's walking out onto the ice and everybody's going to, even the Leafs are going to be like, oh, well, look at that.
That's right, yeah. So I'm pretty sure the decision was made in the summer. I think it's been communicated to the team, or I would believe it's been communicated to the team. It's not going to be a surprise for them. And I think, you know, it could have been a team vote involved. We don't know. But I think it's going to be Riley or Tavares.
So does that cause Matthews to want to get out of here after his contract's up and go down to Arizona, apparently?
I think Matthews is going to Arizona no matter what.
Really?
He'll eventually end up in Arizona, just like Tavares ended up here.
Okay. Okay. So, and what do you think about that whole Matthews thing with the security guard, police officer, whatever her title was?
No disrespect. I think it was out of proportion. I mean, yeah. When you read a lot of the stories, he knows her. She works in the building. It could have been a prank that, you know, maybe she was in a bad mood, or, you know, they weren't getting along or something. And I think it escalated into something that really could have just been a small incident.
Oh, I think so too, man. I think you got to put it in perspective and say he's a young guy. Being a young guy, he's going to do stupid things with his friends. And quite frankly, that's what they were doing. Now, I will say that that is not how a Maple Leaf captain should operate. So I don't know, again, if that, you know, led to, because I agree with you, it's probably a decision that was made a little while back. They showed that clip about Babcock talking about Kawhi yesterday. And how he was referencing Kawhi and the difference maker and everything else. And I mean, the only guy you can really put in that shoe when they came into the city and made that big of a difference, I think is Tavares. But
yeah,
I guess that'll be left to be seen for tonight, man.
Right.
So what do you think about their chances overall? You think we're getting a cup this year?
Oh, man, they need to have team toughness. There's nobody
I know
that can drop the gloves. And, you know, a championship team needs that. You need that element of intimidation. You need someone that's not afraid to go into the corners, someone that's not afraid to drop someone, and need a little bit of nasty. And we lost that when we lost Kadri. You need someone that's going to get dirty and take a cheap shot or two.
If you could pick anybody up, who would it be then in that case? They're like, here, I'll give you this. Last year when he was available, I would have taken Wayne Simmons.
Wayne Simmons, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't.
Like, hands down, I was very surprised that they did, especially knowing they were going into a series against Boston.
It's hard now, right, with the salary cap, but Ferland from Florida, I think he'd be a good addition because he brings a little bit of dirt.
Who do you got to give up to get him?
You got to give up a lot of salary cap space, but even on the farm, we've got Mason Marchman. Mason Marchman would be a great addition to the team, and he'd be cheap. So he's injured right now. Maybe when he's better, we can drop Gauthier something and get Marchman in there, but he would add some grit for sure.
It's interesting because you get a lot of that. You're at those AHL Marley games on a regular, right? So you get to really get ingrained with those guys. Like, I pay attention to them more when it's preseason Leafs hockey. I pay attention to them kind of there. I know the Marlies are an amazing hot, like, AHL hockey team, right, which bodes well for the Leafs. But I don't know the guys as intimately as you do. So that's an interesting take on that, too.
Sandin, when you knew he was going to come up, and he should have been up instead of Marinson. Am I allowed to say that on air? Because he really sucks.
Yeah. I got that from you the other day.
we had to make sure that we have to continue cheering him on, and hopefully Babcock does the right thing, gets rid of him.
Buddy, you know what? I think that there's some awkward things that Babcock has done, and I'm very curious to see how he coaches this team this year, because last year when we looked at the playoff series and we looked at Matthews sitting on the bench for 17 or only having 17 or 18 minutes of ice time and being on the bench, and Marlowe was out on the ice, and I mean, Connor Brown, and I love Connor Brown. I think he's a hard worker. You know, he's your sort of third, fourth liner, winger kind of guy. Why these guys were getting more ice time than Matthews, I got no idea.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No idea.
Apparently Spezza's bench tonight, so it's not starting.
That'll be interesting too. And didn't Babcock make a comment the other day about Spezza, kind of going, well, if he wants to be here,
Yeah. So, you know what? I mean, he's set in his ways, and it might be time to say bye to Babcock. I mean, he was a good coach, right? But he's got a, I think, a younger coach. It would be, it'd be great to get Sheldon Keefe up here. But looks like he's staying with the Marlies. But it'd be good to get someone, I think, younger with a newer approach. And it's the same, you know, it's, I think you wear out your coaches, or you live out your coaches. And you got to have that fresh thinking coming in all the time. And it's no different in real estate. You got to keep making sure that, you know, the coach is aligned with your thinking and the direction that you're going in, and make those moves.
I was excited when he came in.
Yeah.
Seeing how he's managing a lot of things, I'm not as much of a fan these days, but I'd like to see what he does this year. I was looking on the score last night, and I was, you know, they've every year before the season, they kind of label it the top 100 players.
That's right.
Mitch Marner listed at number 25 in the entire NHL. Agreed or disagree?
Ooh, top 25, maybe. But that's another guy that has to prove himself, right?
I mean, hold on. Are you saying he should be, he's listed too high, 25 is good, or are you saying he should be, you know, in the 10s, or should be like in the 30s, 40s, 50s?
I think 25 is probably about right.
Okay.
He's got to prove himself to make the jump. I think he's got to get tougher. He gives up the puck a lot. And, you know, whether it's a shot that goes wide when it's 3-on-3 in overtime, or, you know, it's a giveaway because he's trying to make a high percentage play or low percentage play, he does give up the puck a lot. And that drives me nuts as a hockey coach. But
but he is that amazing, eh?
Yeah, great player. You know, he's exciting with the puck, and he's going to make those mistakes. But if he matures a little bit and holds on to the puck a little bit more, then yeah, he could move up.
I think he certainly will, man. I think that guy's only getting better. We've seen it year after year. He's only gotten better, only gotten better. He finds more ice out there than there is that's even available out there. Like, it's that, and as hockey coaches, both of us, that is a special thing. When you can get a player that goes, I am confident enough to hold on to this little black piece of rubber and skate around and not worry about these guys that are – a lot of them, a lot bigger than he is, crushing them.
That's right.
That's an asset, man. Buddy, I could talk to you about hockey all day long. I am so jacked for tonight's game. I'm going to have to somehow rush home, get off the ice from hockey practice with the little guys, get my butt home. And I'm still toying, like I said to you yesterday, I'm still toying with this idea of whether I PVR it. I mean, it's already set to PVR, but whether I turn that radio on when I leave or not. So
I don't think you'll miss much because the opening ceremony will probably take a while tonight.
There's the other thing, and I want to see that, you know what I mean? But I got to see that before I watch the game. Otherwise, like, it's just all ass backwards. I think I'm answering my own question. I think I got a PVR. I'm going to be up till like 1 o'clock in the morning watching this hockey game, but whatever, I'm in. Buddy, this has been awesome, as I knew it would be. Where can people connect with you if they want to just connect with you, learn more about you, any of that stuff?
They can get me at on my cell phone, 416-985-5426. That's 416-985-CON. Or email asif@thehomeshop.ca.
Look at that. He gave you a cell number. This has been amazing. Again, thank you so much for making the time today. And go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs.
Yeah, buddy. You're either listening to this on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify. Or maybe you went to IndustrySyndicate.com or even Mindshare101.com. Wherever you like to consume your content, please rate, review, and subscribe. And if you haven't yet, connect with me on Facebook at Mindshare101 and on Instagram at DavidGreenspan101. This has been another episode of the Mindshare Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening.